Father, Dad and Homies, and everybody was, you know, getting caught with their lights. I mean, it was us, it was the IRA, the Black and Tans, the Civic Guard, well, two or three, 4 months, all the facts walking around, it's the police, of course, and all the facts going around murdering, you know, rape and murder. But anyway, when we got to Dublin, when Anna came with us, and they picked us out of going to our boarding school, you know, thought, well, we was supposed to be 8 mob over. But all the dozen residents on the campus. And we went to Ivo School and had spring beds in there, lockers. Oh, it was, you know, like going into the rest of being in the workhouse. That was the distance, the difference. And the cooks, the grub we had, bully beef and biscuits and all sorts of jollop, you know, that they used to soak and put that biscuit for about a week and then make you look like they become a sodden sort of mess. And chucked a couple of currants in, and some of that stuff tastes like caraway seeds. You know, when it takes out a load of jollof. But you can't eat it. You ain't supposed to eat none of it, you see, because the idea army cooks did all this was so they could sell it to local farmers exclusively. So nobody says you couldn't eat it. I mean, they might be listening to me, but that's my opinion of that lot. That you couldn't eat the grub. I mean, potato springs, you chuck them in a bowl, they get a broth. They got the broom up and down the bowl. First we clean the dirt or potatoes, but never mind, they got some old, but not much. Then they tipped it into a great big copper. See, some of the dirt and all was still there. When they got it out again, you had two or three spuds on your plate with a load of dirt, and they put a dark and green on top of that. See, and that would make all these corn cat patties. You couldn't eat them, just couldn't chew it, couldn't cut them, couldn't do anything with them. All you do is leave it. Of course, they collected all that wildwood and sell it to the farmers at Big School, make you feel a fortune.
Yes.
That's what happened. Well, when we got to Ivernon School, they started to, I don't know whether anybody was in the back of this, but they started to reform regards to grub. I sent a sergeant named Harold, almost his proper name, but he went on a cook course. And when he came back, I'm not kidding you, but he couldn't have got better grub anyway. He had an army of cooks and they was all immaculate in black. Harold, I think his name was. And all in white, and the grub was magnificent. The meat was cooked, and you know, anybody could have acted and served it up in a wrist. And there was plenty of it. And he used to come round and ask you whether you were satisfied. That's the finest grub I ever had in the army. That was when we done our boarding school. And we had a in a dry wooden floor, you know, and a proper spring bed, you could bounce up and down, you know, not the old iron things, biscuits and that chuck out. So we stopped there a while, I went in the signals. And doing all right, because he said, signed the lorry tubes and all the rest of it, you know, gone forward and pulled a burn. Don't freeze, flares, you know, set Morse code.
What's it?
Shutters.
Sorry, what are the dump?
Aldi's lamps.
The dump freeze and the forward frame.
Well, they were a sort of contraption you worked on the key, just the same as the others.
Oh, like a Morse.
Yeah. You set Morse code all the time.
Yeah.
These are flares with Morse code, see? But,
are they connected by wire?
Well, the forward frame's in that on the ground, yeah.
You have
to put the wire down, see?
Yeah.
But, field telephone's the same. There was nothing wireless, and we had a contraption called a pop panel. And you never see nothing like it in all your life. It was a great big sheet about the biggest one over the area, you know, 12x12, might have been, square. And there's a lot of pockets in it. And you open this pocket, and you've got a letter or a number inside, and see what the customer could be. And the plane used to fly around and around and around, see? And when the sergeant gives you a call, different numbers, you should dash onto it, open up that pocket, dash open and lay down facing it, you know. And then the plane would fly around and around, not really read what was on that sheet of tarpaulin where it was. He'd sound his claxon, you know, he'd got the message. And then he had to fly around again, while he got another lot, see? And then finally, when he's finished, he'd give through two or three tops on his claxon, the optic. That's how they stick them to aeroplanes. That before they've got the V out of the pedal, the one in the front, and fighting behind, and all of what they've got today. The fighters at that particular time, British planes, they had to fill that salary. End of the war, Bristols and Ireland, and they brought out a woodcock. In all stream of people. Wood, it's all of a woodcock fire. I was probably them over 61, and I was coming up now, they thought it was terrific speed. Got on a boat. And you could watch them diving on the top, you see, they give you a demonstration. Well, they wouldn't last for 2 minutes, not when that gap itself would go down. Because they got that gig down, they would not very really hung up. I don't think there's much to improve on the Bristol fires and the friendship, spares and all the rest of what happened in the war. There wasn't much, all of a sudden they made a great big spring pool in the glass aircraft. But I don't think much, I think that's called woodcocks. Well, anyway, I thought to myself, well, I ain't going to find this stuff in this shop. And I ain't going in there seeking to either. I was heard about an engine like what they'd done, and doing a bit of a bumming out there. And I thought, well, I'm going to come out of there. This, I understand, the top of the yard with a pair of legs, maybe. Just going to put no wire down, just going to get from one hill to another and cuts. And you see photos of going up the yard in India, and so you slop around the roads, go up and up and up and up. They didn't take you. It used to take us a week to get up to the lousy where it was our rest station. Well, we'd take a week up getting up there, spend about a month up there, and come down again on the plane, see, up there in progress. But I thought, well, I'm going to get out of this. So the job come up, volunteers were in, you see. Because when the time been finishing abroad, they come down, it's obvious they've done the time, want to go out. But it has to be replaced from the feeding battalion, which is the town, which happened to be us. See, well, we was the first battalion, I think. I can't remember now, but I think it was the first, we was the first battalion, it was the first battalion in the world town, and we had a feeling, so I volunteered, so I told them the sergeant called me, just have every birth, and he said, it's a great gig, he said, and you've got a job here, he said, when you go out, you can walk in the post office, and the things you know, and certainly with the Morse code, get a job, as a Billy Fat on ships or anywhere you like. Now I want to go for the champions. You know, what I've read about, because I used to read miles and miles of books about this, and I want to go and see some of the places. Because I've seen another one in about 2 years. I've been there 2 years ago. In the mountains and the moon and all over the rest of it, all the miles and the moon and all the county Carp, county Clare, county Kildare, all the rest of it. So I said, well, I've got a job. Well, we was coming home then. They said, we was coming home, we're going to get stationed at Shawncliffe. That's near Dover. So we went on a leave for embarkation, they call it.
Yeah.
Give you a month. So of course we went on. Of course we went on. Got on the train. And on the, I think we were talking about, we got on the track, and no, we got on the boat first, well, yeah, a little bit of a ride it was from the park down to the docks, I think it was. And I said, well, anyway, we got down to the docks. We had a ride, I think. We came to the car down there. No, we didn't. God. We had a bit of a ride because I knew about the guy in the station. There was a load of these folks used to work the boats, guard shops, and pretty cold, find a feet, find a lady in the galaxy. Well, we were sitting in the carriage, one mate named Robert Walker, where his brother came around and ended up in it. And we did the pipeline for that corner. And I was just spoke right outside a mate named Robert Walker, and he said, well, one of my brothers. Well, I weren't mates with him. He's in the photo, the two of us put together. If you've ever seen that long, a pair of big pieces. And the bloke said to me, he said, all of a sudden, then one bloke came in, he sat down and got out a paper, started reading. And another bloke came in and he got out a paper, but he started playing some cards, see? Finding ladies. didn't know about coming. Of course, I mean, me being a cocky sparrow, I wouldn't know what happened to your army. I'd seen all this stuff before. You know, I mean, there weren't many tricks I didn't know. Watch out for what. So another guy came in and he gets paid, and all of a sudden the bloke with a car said, "Joe, did you find a lady?" He said, "Me." So I said, "No." I said, "Well, you never put it out." I said, "So I said, he came." So I put him on old top of Brown. He was about 6 foot broad and about all that. He was a company cook, but he wasn't so bright in the crust, see. So he was losing sight and losing a lot of money, see. Because the other two, they said, "Can we join in fellas?" See. Of course, he let them win. Of course, the top four, well, he did that when he came, I suppose. So, I said to Topper, I said, "You know what?" I said, "Topper, they're swindling you." So one of the paddies says, "What if you say?" I said, "You're bleeding or swindling you." That's what I said. And I said, "I'll tell you something else." I said, "Unless you give him his money back." And I said, "This train is all fuller than North Hampshire Regiment." And I said, "We'll have you in little bits and chuck it out the bleak window." You see, I mean, I was right and come forward, you know. They gave him his money. When we got to the North Wall, where we was going, we had the police, and we had the cops and all. We had them. The cops who had been looking for these, they worked the boats and all. You see, they worked from Holyhead. This is where we're coming across now. They didn't go around the call. Come Holyhead to, from Dublin, the North Wall. From Dublin, the North Wall, to Holyhead. Well, you generally leave Dublin and come across of a night time and you get to Holyhead just before 12. See, then you catch the boat train down to Euston. It takes about 5 hours to run through the morning. But when I got to on the platform, I couldn't see a soul inside. Oh, we were a few years before I come over. I'm in Luxway all the way over. We got on the boat and wanted a cup of tea, so I said, "Well, we want a cup of tea." He said, "Yeah." So we went downstairs and had a little cubby hole where they were serving the tea. Well, there was a big scramble all around, like, for it. Anyway, I got up the front and said, "Two cups of tea." And I got hold of one and turned around and they all looked up and went, "You there? Yeah. Like, where are you going?" Well, I handed it over the top of the bloke and said, "You got it?" He said, "Yes." But he hadn't got it when all it goes, so the bloke popped it. "What were early? Where's our tea?" So, anyway, finally we managed to calm him down. Bought him a cup of tea. And I said, "Well, I don't know, it's a blowing a it was, but it's a terrific steam, eh? When it do get started, the eyes see." And I thought to myself, "Well, I'm going to have a oh, so we're going to have a few part of the week." Blowing, whoa, what sort of wind. I thought the boat was going down any minute. Yeah. Well, I'll go to sea, all I know is. Going down. So outside, I had all the tatty cases and all the kit bags all up in a green grey heap, they were all packed up. And thought, I'll get here. So I find myself a notch, a little niche, you know, so I crawled inside of this. Next thing to that, but down came a lot all on top of me. And was I'm calling out for help. Nobody don't hear me for about 5 minutes, because of the guard and all the shamans going on.
Yeah.
And I wasn't hurt at all, but it pinned me down so I couldn't get out. But I hope you only would have put no money away, must have been tons on top of me. But it was happened so, I mean, if it hit me properly and had all that, I would have flattened me like a turd on a fly.
Yeah.
But anyway, of course, they had finally done me out and we arrived over to my head. They said, "We ain't finished yet, but it is. Conventional Germany." When I got on the platform where the train started from, they all gone when I got there. The rest of them. He was going straight home, he wasn't going to short, he was going to leave there. And I looked down, walked down the train, all the empty carriages, they'd all got up the front, so I went to come and have to go for myself. I'll get in here. So I got in the carriage, shut the door, all on my head was. Then I took the coat off, maybe a pillar, maybe an ugly tunic, and laid it down. Laid down on the seat, up on the train spot, and I was stressed out. See, well, I said, but I wasn't sleeping, and I must have dozed off a little bit. And I come to, and I thought, well, I'll go to Lavery, see. So I got up and made my way to Lavery, it was a horrible train. I went and made myself go to Lavery, and opened the door, and then I I sat in there with all my parts and all the money in my top. Left hand to my pocket where I used to carry it, see? Well, so I went back and got it. Put my tunic on, see? And concentrating on putting my tunic on, and went the wrong way. See, and I opened the door that they don't deny it. And stop. But luckily for me, the door opened up into the wind. Had it opened the other way, it would have dragged me out of the line and found another body of the line, didn't know how it got there. But I shoved it, and pulled me shoving, pushed it so much. But when the wind really caught it, slammed the door and knocked me flying. Well, practically the other side of the compartment. I was well awake now, I was. Of course, after that, when I got the use of it, it all disappeared. All the yards I come with. Of course, I come home to underground. My mother lived in Marcus Street then. So after a month, I used to put up my arms. Not in the area because she lived over the lane. So she used to put me up like on the eve. And, when I went back, I had to join the yards. The president was a children then. But of course, going on, going to MD, it wouldn't have been great. There's a tower near the arrow, you see, do your topi work. If you know you're bending around your topi, you'd have put it on yourself. So you pull it down by, you wind it around so far, then you pull it down and stick a pin in it, hold it so it doesn't come up. You know, you're two robots.
Yeah.
There they go. And you have to work a black patch in there. That's in honor of General Wall. Putting the buggery on the topi, you know, there's a buggery. General Wall took part in the Battle of Quebec. Apparently he won it. And he was killed and the other boat was killed, Montcalm, which I was in the Provost. But I saw I was supposed to win it. And as he was dying, he said, somebody said they'd run. And he said, who run? And one of the officers, our lot, was supposed to hold him up in the MC Regiment. Had a long record, you know, that long. I said, the enemy, sir. So we let you die gracefully, even though they died in the book. And that was the end of that. Well, that was what the Black Patch was for, I think. Well, anyway, we done a few mustering here together. And we finally boarded the trip. We went to Southampton. Boarded from Shawbury. It was quite a trip. Well, they found our road, they managed to. They run because they were all that particular time, no British Rail, they were all separate railway companies. They ran northwest and ran northeast and great southerns and all this, all at the southern. And finally we arrived at Southend and went on the SS Syria. And you go through the gates, coolest of the non scrubbers. They got a blow and it didn't stop over with this old thing. Well, they'd been in there. In service, I suppose, in the Derby line, part of one of their airlines. And I should crib about. There was what, about 2,000 troops poked up the back, and about a dozen of officers and their wives. They got three parts of the boat. This is called they call democracy, and freedom. You see, another little instance of it. There's about 2,000 troops all poked up the back. You have it, so you feed down here on the tables, you have it, you slung it above you. Of course, you've got to get on the table and crawl in your hammock, and somebody's got to put them out, and that sort of log, they're all down there. Well, when they start in the valley, you've got to get out and roll your hammock up and end in, like for the day, so it's out of ice, see? Mm-hmm. Then you go up on the deck where you ain't got naked journalists, they pick you out of the fire, if we don't wear no boots on the ship, you have to, that's still a ship. It was for the front of fire by the sparks out before all along the bushes we tipped at Cap and Hill.
Yeah.
So you used to go five on fire duty, they'd go up the top and say, well, this is your lifeboat and this is your lifeboat. And get on the one and then put it around your neck if anything happened. You go over here and it's your life, and then they give a boat drill and they said, oh, man, play arsey arsey. Called bingo now. So you sit down there and the canteen used to open for an hour. And so it's up to us to give the canteen, because all the stuff to do is pretty light, you know. So actually, I mean, something like a real question you can see, but it has to be. Since it fired out of the butt and you know where it was, but it caused to him and your own country, it's all doing pretty good. Everybody got this week fine, and it looked like it'd been fine out before I got through a bit. Good, it's a great delicacy, but the bite I'm here, you have to be well briefed to buy it.
And that's what we bought it.
Yes. See, we got some bars of chocolate. Woodbines, there we go. Woodbines, bars of chocolate. Buying that would have been fine with that from action in that, can you? So when we arrived at Cressy, we arrived at Cressy. Going along, it was interesting to watch all the old porpoises, what they call the thing we've got now. Porpoises are the same name as
dolphins.
Dolphins. The same sort of animal, and mucking around the boat, and well, I should chuck all the scraps in there. They'd all be scooting around the best light, never been no sharks around here. But a boat was, got the funny old. Most of the crew was nice and seamen, they were Malays. But Sarah, you see no sharks there. They brought them here. There's no sharks, they had no dog sharks, there's no more white. They won't get near us at all then. But they travel like express train, not in the shark in the guts and knock it before me when they say kill them. Which shark, you know, it's turn over, isn't it? The chief's under here. And to bite you, you'd have to turn over, roll over, to get at you. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. What's that?
Tell me a story.
Hey? What was that?
He's wanting to keep talking.
Oh. They'd have to roll over to get out, yeah. So I'd say, well, no sharks haven't seen what I'm doing here. I thought it was good jumping deer. Anyway, on we got to Karachi, and we landed, and they gave us a cup of tea. So, incidentally, it's an Indian word, I'm all about Chinese. Drink more tea than you what you do in China. The word I say was more tea in China. Can't be much more. Anyway, it's breakfast dinner and tea for Chia. It's Chia all the way. And so then we went from there up to the Lahore. And got a train. And of course, a lot of boats now, you knew a lot of these boats because you've been in Ireland. You know? And they'd left on the previous trials, and that, you know, to me, because they're all sending. A lot of people prince at the time. But if I put name Dunby, for instance, when I got there, come up and do it. So coming out up and doing stuff, all right in there. The bands, they had a bands all played down there. And wherever you go, they played down to the German regiment. And they played a tune, it's military miles, it goes. Contenders, they call them. We're all long bungalows, actually, and floor, I suppose. You go up one flight of stairs, up the steps, and you're on the outer veranda. And it's similar on the other side. If you went to the place from there, you go up the flight of steps, and you're on the veranda. They're composed of five great big long, I suppose they could be, well, 2 yards long, could be. And you got the steps, and you want to put out of breath. And on there, they used to keep the lead boxes, and then there used to be bulk in the rain there. They had their own factory, and all that, bigger man, and he's the second man in the refrigerator stuff, and they never knew fridges. Then he went into the inner veranda. Well, in there was a place where you did all your indoor drills. You know, because you couldn't be allowed out of bungo at the 9 o'clock. So what? Sandy's a man, start the man up by 1920. So you didn't know what he looked like. And on the clear, and the sun itself. You put everything out dry, by the time you turned your back, it was dry, because we used to scrub our toes in it, and brass it was seen, and very fine seen, and scrub it, and lay out the sand, and keep the sand over it. And then, well, in a matter of a minute or so, it was dry.
Yeah.
See? Of course, the Dursies, that was the naked washerman, they used to get it, and first I was doing it on rocks, and you take me down the riverside, or where the water was, and built that daylight out of it on the rock. See, but that's the way I got it. Send it. So, well, I want it back, sort of, and then, because we've got a few coffee, like drills and shirts and everything, they bring you back the same day. And regard shaving, I didn't use to shave, because I never really needed it, I don't really know. But if you need shaving, the nappy, that's the barber, you used to go around and shave it while he was sleeping, basically, do that. And you have a boy to clean all your equipment up for you, you know, except your rifle. I don't know if that's there. But anyway, being out there, we got things got done, and treat them, you know, like to treat my bloke. And that, versus that came around and we tie that with a Dursey, as he was known as, he'd do anything. He made me a snakeskin belt, I told you about it, a black belt made out of what's it? And back me in that. And I had that for a long time. It was just a slip, an opening, yeah. Blow it, pick it up. And you get your money in here, blow it, you can give him a few notes, or anything. But the notes, you go roll up the other end. Rolls you go upside down, they all go down, you can't get it out unless you took it all across your fingers and you can't get it out. Anyway, I got to the barracks, and they come out and done the same sort of thing. My friendly little sergeant major named Holmes. I loved doing him afterwards. And B Company. So I went in B Company number 5 platoon. Well, how this come about was they picked out what they call an experimental platoon. See? And of course I was probably in that regiment, wasn't it? And now where they want the platoon, it was better than the others. They want the platoon that would base the rest of them on. See, so they picked out some out of each platoon to make up this number 5 platoon, experimental platoon. Well, I think we proved ourselves in pretty every way. We won the clock, as our centre point, I don't know, another, but never. We've got our marriage license in that thing in there. It's like the tin case you've seen, haven't you? I think. Well, we had our photo taken. As you know, it was a competition football team with a bunch of company. And they won it, and I'm going to go take with that. But everything else turned out that we was a bit better than most of them. The Abbeys, you know, so they wanted to attain something better. You know, there's always what they call a respect core in your regiment. Well, in your regiment, in other words, especially if you're not brave, you are a regiment, so you're not as good as them, if not better. So, anyway, I was in the 5 platoon. Of course, he said he played football. Oh, well, I said, yeah. First thing they do is they play the draft. What they mean by playing the draft, the local residents were already there, like, they play the newcomers. You can pick a team out of the draft, or pick out a team out of that lot. And of course, we got beat for something, we wouldn't do the climate, we wouldn't do a bit. As well as, good football as well, but. They also had the advantage that was acclimatised where we wasn't. See, when you play the job, then you get assimilated into the companies. And of course, when they play matches, you go 5 plays 8, 5 plays 6, 6 plays 7, 6 plays 5, and 6 plays 7. You keep on in the English. So you play football every night. They went about the temperature every night. He saw about playing once a week, a bit of training. We should do our job during the day, and the night time play football. And you know, it was up, so hot one night, there were 17 of us taken down with sunstroke, and all one of them, because you want to die. And it was just how you feel. 17 of us, that was our team and the opposition. We played a local team card, or the same thing happened. We had Cadbury dogs, weren't we? But I mean, when I used to get stuck in, I used to get stuck in. We can't say why we played it, or we played it or we didn't. Then after a while, from there, I was on the police. Picked me up and go, oh no, pick me up at the hospital, we heard. So I did a bit of a course there with, you know, first aid, that's what he made too. We put a digital pressure on the bullet, you know, and things and sticks and felt your finger, they have a push and pressurize it, and not my body's supposed to be like what normally I've worked. There were only small cuts, and I put a dressing on and on, and broken legs, and put a tourniquet on, you know, with blood pulling out the bottom, you've got to stop the blood getting to that, so it can't run. Well, that's where I learned all this. And they stick me on the hospital, the hospital already. I was born 50 years ago. So, they shoved me in the hospital then. Well, to give them credit, this lot, you don't see the accident surgeons white very charge of it. All you see is the ASs. They're assistant surgeons, and they're usually the natives. See? Well, they're wheeling them in and out of the hospital, day and night with malaria, different diseases. So you know when you've got malaria, you start getting shakes and ague, you know, sort of thing. Then you get hot, then you get freezing cold, and of course, no, they chuck it, you go into bed, and they chuck all the blankets on that you can get. And then, in about 5 minutes, you're swimming in that bed. And then they put in, basically, don't get sick, the sick chit of the all these other things. So we chip the hospital and they cart you down the hospital, or you'll do it for them normal. And you get in the hospital and they put you in the brain bed, and it's what they give you that aspirin, it's diaphoretic. Diaphoretic, can I ask you about that?
Yeah, make you sweat.
Now, what is it?
It's just something to make you sweat, that's what it means.
Well, we couldn't have it, we didn't have it. Mercy, but it do make you sweat. So I tell you, about 5 minutes you were swimming. Of course, then the more I got out, the slower the temperature went down. But one day I went in there, I went to the hospital, they got to call me in, and I said to the bloke named Tubby, I had a dog. And how I got this dog was the bloke was knocking about. See? It had a little toy, something like a bird dog, and it was a long hair, black and white hair. More like a little, more like a sheep dog. You know, a smaller edition. Called it a nail. And he used to knock her about like so I said, oi. See? I said, well, it's someone. I said, I'm about to bleed my life. I said, what the? Not that cherry hog. See? I said, I'll buy that all for you. So I said, oh, that. I said, oh, I'll knock it all for you. See? So, a bit of a mad cat and all. Well, supposed to be, they're all mad, you know, we never get mad at it. And, I said, all right, and I said another thing. I said, I don't want you whistling her either. So then I got her, I said, I've got her, and I don't want you doing anything, saying anything, or whistling to get her in front of you. But that's how I bought her. And I had her a long time. Of course, once or twice there, I got a bit annoyed. Like when I went over to Canton, I used to come back, and always used to bring her nipper home for a supper. As well as the scrap card, which was the day. And when I went over and was up in the night, I used to bring her a bit of liver over. And you had to put your mosquito nets down before Rivalry, before retreat.
Yeah.
See, so they was well tucked in before the mosquito started playing their visits around their people's beds, like I'm saying, you see. Well, I put mine down, and then it was on the box. I said, now look after you. I said, I'm all there. I'll fetch us up a bit. You're talking about it, you know, you're in the bed. You're just talking. And they said, well, no, and all dogs. They do. course, she's in the middle of the bed, the great old woman there. There was this her in the middle of the bed, they're working the sail like 1 o'clock, like my liver. So I nearly went there, you know, I didn't get her. I said, what a cake, I said, that's your sail, sir. I said, I might stop your liver. I said, but this is a bit. Anyway, it took me, oh, quite a while, sewed up, right, sewed up, but I was going to go to sleep because mosquitoes wasn't getting in. I was saving on the party chops or whatever. So you had to do it. And once they took me to hospital, it was shouting my phone neck. Then, of course, the nurse was at the beach. He then put a light on, and we could see what was going on. And their idea of beaching, I mean, the bungalow where you slept, as I told you, went up the outer one, and then you went into one where you did some drill and electives and strip machine guns down. Right. In the next one, right in the middle, was the dormitory. And it was up with one in that corner, one in this corner, a doorway there, one in the opposite corner, doorway, one in the other corner. And then there was an opening left from there in the next floor. There's a lot of squares all joined in with a very long corridor running down above in this corner. Also an outlet onto the veranda. The other side was where you had your cookhouse, the second inner one. From there you could go onto the outer veranda and then down into the sea. So you had five long things well split up, as I say, where you see. So someone could be getting murdered about where you are, but the wall between you all in this corner. There's an opening here. There's an opening there. But I can't see you. Because you're up this side. You could be getting robbed blind, yeah, but I wouldn't know. Well, their idea was that one bloke would stand over you, well, the other bloke nicked your kit, see? And they agrees themselves with cheater back. Well, it doesn't surprise them, cheater. And they said, whimper, and they've got a good bar. They said, of course, they should get away with this. And if you woke up, you might as well make out you're a seat, otherwise they crack on the crust. On our bar, make sure we weren't asleep. And while I was printing your stuff, see? Do you know, they had a rifle rack at our barracks. Well, they must have had somebody inside, like amongst the top people we worked with. Way up and down. Because it's a punk of Wallace. They must have had cohorts amongst them, of course, they chipped away and nobody knew. If somebody woke up and found out the rifle rack. Of course, everybody was shot out of Surrey. And finally, old rifles were square. No rifles, but it was a very serious crime. Because they were selling rifles to the Northwest Frontier Place. They'd be out of five shelter battleship or Buckingham Palace for selling one of them. See, so, of course, when we come back, there was one of our blokes who was a bit late getting out, and apparently some of the men left. And as he came in, so they cracked him. They fell in cocked out. That's only one instance. And then they took me into hospital because I had malaria. I said, well, we'll have to look after Nelly, but she was down on pups. So I put her in the mud and powder house. She went to the house. And I looked after her. I said, you'll put a glove on coming up. All right, sir. Now, the hospital must be, well, between quarter and half a mile away. You know what happened in the night, someone's on the bed licking his face. This is a dog. It's down underneath the door of the dover, laid hold, left the pups, come down and spotted the track behind the hospital. Yeah, come by a lemonade factory, one or two other hobbies. Of course, the hospital, the doors, they're all no doors on that. And in there he come, shoot it. And that one had been licking the cook. It's in the middle of the night. So anyway, I got one of the orders, I said, take her back. Then he come back and I went to sleep. I woke up in the morning, he should be beside me, because we make water. You see, wherever he went, I often used to finish up. I'll tell you something, that during our occupation there, we went firing, we set a fire, go shooting on the range. And if you've got a first class, a second class certificate in first class shot, you've got extra 6 months a day, see? And of course, you're out of qualified for this every year. I mean, you're fine, you didn't have to have a certain second class certificate, you've already got it. But yeah, I go shooting every year, like a good period. Well, I don't, something might happen, I'd either crack my finger or broken my finger or something, and I couldn't. Arm or so. In fact, that thumb now, I still can't bend it like tennis. And I'm still pretty there.
That's your right thumb. Right? Your right thumb.
Yeah, that's the one. The old that we left, and that's the one that the old grip the back, pull the trigger, see? That's the one here. So, I said, I've got the part here. So when I called out, he said, I've been booked up. He cracked the dead old shot, see? So anyway, he got something like 17. So that's what happened there, that's how we got through there. Well, they were proper old carry on. I mean, you could even butts, you know. And because they had a telephone from Butts down to the firing point. And if anybody, you know, give them a cut, pull up the other end. See, they say, well, so and so, who's on number four? So they say, so and so, and so and so. So the sergeant in the bus would come up to you if you were marking number four. You say, well, so I said down here, so you get on when you have a couple of rules to start with, if you have to get the licks, you come up to him, of course, you fire off the side if you get it, or you have a little bit of paste in like that, you can finish things. I mean, first thing, you jump the big body in the bullseye, something like that. When the officer comes around, you stick under his arm, inspecting, you know, inspecting what you've done. He said, well, to lose a ton of proficiency pay was a lot of money, see? But they all believed in it, they was all out of field. Of course, we know if he's saying machine guns and loose guns and that, what it was, he would cut a body that paved the way, so to speak. Although, mind you, I mean, usually the shooting was in enough, because most of the people could shoot. That's the way to fight, you have plenty of practice. The only thing, if you fire and have what they call dead ground. But if you fire across a valley, see, you have to estimate the distance. You see, and if you fire at a target, and of course, dead ground, you can't see what's down below, you can only estimate what you think it is. You'd be surprised how many times you can get wrong without to do this. Of course, after we left the hall, I've got to do it in place with it. Put me on a garrison police. I'd had nothing in the hospital, I wouldn't be returned to duty. That is, go back to doing normal drills and goals and that sort of thing. Well, I was a cratchy, as I said, I was a Lewis kind of. And I never used to have a rifle when I went on guard. I eventually had a revolver. And I never had any bullet pouches for what's inside. The ammunition 45, wherever it was, it's a, fire around the cotton room, it's the same old self. Of course, when I'm mounted guard, it does on, so it was going to get the stick. But I always mounted the next one ahead. It just might sound like bragging, but it's not. This is the truth. I should polish myself up, boots and all the rest. It's all that is fair set. Okay, I'll get on. Neat, of course, when me and the bloke named Andrews, we were mates, we used to play that all night. Come about 3 o'clock in the morning, say, I'm a bit tired, John, this, take on with this. See? We played quite a little boat here, and we were the banker, I'll be the banker. We should win the money with a pot full between us, taking turns to go and have a couple of nights. We supply everything cheap, as soon as anybody wanted any money, they'd sell a kit. Come up with a shirt, a pair of boots, whatever it was. Shooting at a barn. Well, he wasn't born. See, anybody that didn't know not, we got any money, we'd treat. Anybody that money got so old. We used to have a scissors box, that's like a big box, but the fags used to come in. The WDNA said, we used to make the fags called scissors, especially for the army. And we had a scissors box of all the folk rowers' money on it. Ocean paid up. But we've never done anybody. But say if someone may see a company that doesn't even leave the brand and pretty open one side of open disappears. But we've never done anybody, we never asked anybody. But we always had money. We said white trousers and ducks and silk shirts, and we had all of it. We could buy anything if we wanted. And as I say, all we've got silver stuff, that's why we've got plenty of stuff. Take the half shirts. Take that thing.